Simply Safe, baby. You know, if you've ever thought about securing your home with home security but have been putting it off, you will want to listen up. Right now, the Sarah Silverman podcast listeners can order the number one rated Simply Safe home security system for 50% off. This is their biggest offer of the year, and you won't want to miss it. Here's why I love it. I've given Simply Safe to friends and loved ones. My good friend Brett used it for his entire house. Simply Safe was named the best home security system of 2022 by US News and World Report, a third year in a row. So don't miss your chance for massive savings on this amazing security system. Get 50% off any new system at simplysafe.com/Silverman today. This is their biggest discount of the year. That's simplysafe.com/Silverman. There is no safe like Simply Safe. Hey.
Hey. Hey, I wanna
Hi.
Hey, you fucker.
Hey. So Elon Musk bought Twitter and he's just all over the place. He's all over the place. I don't know this guy. I mean, I have met him a couple of times, but he's for democracy. Then he's buys Twitter. He's the most powerful person in the world now. He can basically control elections. You know, he's said in the past, like, Twitter's job is to be neutral, non-political. Then he just tweeted that everyone should vote Republican. It's bizarre. He says he's a freedom of speech absolutist. Well, we put that to the test. Like, I just made my entire identity the same as his. Like, I put his picture, his bio, his background, whatever, and I'm verified and I have millions of followers or whatever. And I just tweeted as him and immediately got like suspended and had to like change my name back and click a thing admitting that what I did was wrong. And it's just very funny because this is the same guy that tweeted like comedy is legal on Twitter now, and then like immediately so many people who put made his profile their profile, and like just so that everyone was just named Elon Musk, we all got either kicked off or suspended or whatever. And it's just so funny. I mean, and by the way, that's good, because he was just he's selling blue checks or whatever. And now because it happened to him, he's saying you have to be who you say you are in order to get a blue check and blah, blah, blah. It's all changing, you know, but boy, he's so powerful. And again, his ego controls so much, you know, and he, I think, is vindictive, and it's really scary. I keep kind of poking and saying stuff, but then I get a little scared. But then if you're scared into not saying anything, that's the whole point, right? So it's really it's very interesting watching what's going on over there on Twitter. And then I remember it's just an app, and I get off of it and I go, right, this isn't real life. And yet, is it? I don't know what real life is anymore. I don't know what it's going to be. The election happened on Tuesday. Don't have all the results yet, but who knows? Not feeling amazing. What's going to happen to misinformation? You know, he says everything. He says, oh, we've got it covered. You know, like I just posted, he said in a big interview, you know, no, all that stuff is still in place. Even though we all know he fired all the people that handled like misinformation and lies. Nope, we have it all in place. If anyone says hate speech, it will get taken down like within minutes. Meanwhile, I searched on Twitter, my name and Kike, and just endless tweets come up. Also, I'm saying I'm not to make it about me. I just don't want to do it about somebody else. But no, there's definitely hate speech up there. Maybe he's just not talking about Jews. I don't know. What's going to happen? I don't know. What's going to happen? I'm on the edge of my seat. I hope we make it as a democracy, but I wouldn't hold my breath. Meanwhile, so many funny people who did the same thing. Josh Molina. So then Elon posted, like, anyone who does that will be immediately removed. And if, you know, unless you say this is a parody, you will be suspended forever. And then Josh Molina, in his final dismount, just wrote, as Elon Musk, I am Elon Musk. This is not a parody. Like, the greatest suicide. And then, of course, Kathy Griffin did it. She got kicked off forever. Valerie Bertinelli did it. All just making the point that, like, the truth matters. It has to matter. Free speech is great. But, you know, like Rory said, and I know I said this probably 2 years ago, I remember Rory saying, like, you know how the Second Amendment was written when we only had muskets? Well, freedom of speech was written when it was just like a town square and you'd stand on like a little apple box and talk, you know? It's like, so freedom of speech cannot be the same thing as freedom of reach, where people are spewing conspiracies and lies to millions and millions of people, AKA Kanye, you know, not AKA, for example, you know, Kanye or Kyrie or Dan Pasternak had a great one about Kyrie Irving. It's like, I mean, I knew that anti-Semitism would come back, but by someone named Irving? It's getting scary.
I finally finished the final season of Peaky Blinders. God, it was so good. It was really dark. This season, I mean, every season's really dark, but this season was like kind of rip your heart out dark, in addition to extremely violent, which isn't usually my thing, but man, it's just so, the acting is so fucking brilliant and it's so good. And I just thought it was, you know, this is a historical drama, historical fiction. And it's basically like Southies when they lived in Birmingham. They were actually from Birmingham, England, you know, post World War I, and were treated like shit after coming back from the war and became what I think ultimately what Rory pointed out is like, this is, these are Southies. This is their history. Because they end up kind of connecting with Boston and shipping liquor there and blah, blah, blah. But there were such interesting parallels in it with the United States right now. I mean, what happens in it is basically it's the start of the Weimar Republic. It's the beginning of this guy, Adolf Hitler, who's really saying some interesting things. And he's a politician. He's a total crooked politician, the main character, but has an odd kind of code of ethics. And he points something out that I think is so true right now, that like the extremes are more similar than they think. They should be the farthest point of a kind of person. But the truth is it's a circle. And the farther you go right and the farther you go left, the more you wind up in the same place. And it really does seem to be a very interesting point. You know, I'm pretty far left, but the like extreme far left, which is, by the way, when the right says like the, what do they call the alt left or whatever, they just say whatever we say, you know, the opposite, but is kind of like ridiculous. But there is a very, very extreme left that kind of meets up, and you see the Venn diagram has a little bit of overlap, and you see extreme left. I'm not talking about AOC. I fucking love her. I'm saying like way farther are going on like Glenn Beck or Bill O'Reilly, because there's intersectionality there, which I think is actually what intersectionality means more. It's not like everyone coming together, which is, I don't know if that's also called intersectionality, but I'd like to know the correct word, because I remember hearing that it's more, I don't know. Am I still talking? Is my mouth still moving? Let's take some voicemail calls. I'm dying to hear what people have to say.
You left me a message. Now I'm playing it for the world. Let's hear some voicemails.
Hi, Sarah. My name is Allie. I'm from Delaware. Question about Trump. So my family are predominantly Trump supporters. My sister and I are the only sort of liberal Democrats in the family. And when Trump was elected, obviously it created a huge rift and divide in our family. And we learned about 2 years in just not to talk about politics anymore because it was too divisive and too inflammatory. So we just kind of went with that no discussion policy for the last several years. And now, you know, fast forward, Joe Biden's president, and we thought things might just kind of calm down. But now that the January 6th hearings have come out, they're underway, I'm seeing that they're still really entrenched in this MAGA mindset, cult, whatever you call it. I don't know. It's so bizarre to me. And I feel like I'm losing empathy for people in my family. I just don't know if I can continue to have real relationships with people whose values are so diametrically opposed to my own and so aligned with somebody.
Boo. I think you only have 90 seconds there. You know, I think the first thing you did about, you know, just the method of just not talking politics with your family is probably the best you can do. My guess is neither side of you guys is going to change the other's minds with all your facts and figures and articles and things. It's just, it doesn't happen. And it will just break you apart, probably. It sounds like you want to keep a relationship with them. Just have those ground rules, you know? If this is also important to them, then you got to agree to just fucking never talk politics. It just covers so much. It's not just politics. It's social politics, which is really what it's all about. Humans. Liberty. All the stuff. You know, the best thing any of us can do to make other people open to new ideas, if that's even at all possible, is to love them anyway. But that might be too hard. So good luck. I'm glad you've got your sister. And, good luck. What else?
Here's some ads.
Article, everybody. Just because we spend most of our time unconscious and quite possibly drooling in our bedroom does not mean we can't do it in style. I love Article. They have such quality stuff. It's always less expensive because there's no middleman. And I love it. I've got my dining room set from them. I've got my guest bedroom bed frame from them, which is stunning mid-century. Article is just the easiest way to make your space look beautiful. They combine the curation of a boutique furniture store with the comfort and simplicity of shopping online. Article's team of designers focuses on beautifully crafted pieces, quality materials, and durable construction. They are dedicated to a modern aesthetic of mid-century Scandinavian industrial and bohemian designs. Fast, affordable shipping is available across the USA and Canada and is free on orders over $999, and all in-stock items are delivered in 2 weeks or less, which in furniture world is insane. Article cuts out the middleman and sells directly to you. No showrooms, no salespeople, no retail markups. You can save up to 30% over traditional retail prices. Article's offering our listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. Wow. To claim, visit article.com/Sarah, and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout. That's article.com/Sarah for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. I just got my Lomi, and we haven't set it up yet because I want Rory to do it because he's better at that stuff. Although I bet I know I can do it myself. It's so simple. It's gorgeous. It looks like it's something from the Apple store. And I can't wait to start mulching. Is that right? Mulching?
Let me tell you about it. Lomi allows me to turn my food scraps into dirt. That's right, dirt, soil, beautiful, beautiful soil with the push of a button. Lomi is a countertop electric composter that turns scraps to dirt in under 4 hours. There's no smell when it runs, and it's really quiet. I feel great knowing that I'm composting and creating soil instead of waste. I have a basically limitless supply of dirt for my garden. It's so cool because it turns, like, you throw your banana peels in, you throw your coffee grinds in, any, there's so many stuff you can throw in. It tells you exactly how, what, you know, because you can put any kind of food, maybe not pits, and then some other stuff. You press a button. You wake up the next morning, it's soil you throw on your plants. It's just amazing. Thanks to Lomi, I have way less garbage each week. I throw out way less garbage. This means it's not going into landfills and producing methane. Instead, I turn my waste into nutrient-rich dirt that I can feed to my plants. It's so cool. If you want to start making a positive environmental impact or just make clean up after dinner that much easier, Lomi's perfect for you. Head to lomi.com/Sarah and use promo code Sarah to get $50 off your Lomi. That's $50 off when you head to lomi.com/Sarah and use promo code Sarah at checkout. Food waste is gross. It smells every time you open your garbage. It smells. Lomi is your solution. With the holidays just around the corner, it's an awesome gift. Lomi will make the perfect gift for someone on your shopping list. Boom.
And we're back.
Hey, Sarah. My name's Laurie. I live in Scotland. Been a big fan of yours since I discovered your podcast during the first pandemic lockdown we had. And I love listening to your show. It gets me through a lot of long car trips I do.
Aww.
Anyway, I just got out of a 6-month relationship with someone who turned out to be a bit of a sociopathic narcissist, ticked all those boxes, really struggling to deal with the fact that I was sucked in by him. A nurse and an empath, and I fell for it, and I hate myself for it, but I'm dealing with that. On top of everything else, I found out I was pregnant. Almost 9 weeks, and the current struggle is that I don't know what to do about it. I'm very lucky that I live somewhere where I still have an option and a choice. I've never wanted kids. It's not something I've ever wanted for myself, but I'm facing these weird thoughts now that, like, almost like fear of missing out if I don't have it. And my mood and mind changes on a daily basis. I just wondered if you had any advice for someone in a situation like this. Love your show. Please don't stop doing it. Take care.
I cannot make this decision for you. I would say you shouldn't have a child because of FOMO. But I guess I could offer you some questions that you could ask yourself to help decide. Do you have a support system in place? Do you have a support system that could help you raise this child? If you need help, when you think about the pros and cons of raising a child and being the kind of mother you would want to be, how do you feel if you imagine it all goes away and you're back to normal? Do you feel a sense of relief? Do you feel a sense of loss? I don't know. And how do you feel imagining this massive life change for 18 plus years? I guess really for the rest of your life. I'm not trying to talk you out of it. It could be the most beautiful mistake that ever happens to you. Think about the day to day. How would you figure each thing out? And you would figure it all out. You would. But we're talking about you being responsible for your own happiness, whatever that looks like. It may not be what you planned, but it might be what you're destined for. Or maybe not now. Maybe this isn't the time for you. You know, think about the bio dad. If you kept the baby, would you want him to sign something that said he would not be involved? Or would you want him to be involved? Or would you be ready to potentially be tied to him for the rest of your life through this child? Just some questions to to think, to mull over. This could be the happiest mistake ever again, or at the least, it could be something that made you have to really think about what you want in this life and what you don't want in this life and what you want now and what you are planning for maybe later. Who knows? But just to be put in a situation where you have to really think about this stuff and figure it out is good, I think. And either way, it's a really important choice that only you can make about your body, period. All right, what else?
Hey, Sarah. My name's Matt. I have actually been a fan of yours for several years now, and I really look up to you and applaud you for really just working to become a better person. I mean, I tried to do the same with myself, and you're one of my inspirations in that regard.
Aw.
Wanted you to know that. And
I'm proud of that.
I've actually been a fan of yours since Greg the Bunny, if that counts for anything.
Sure does.
I was wondering if you had any stories from working on that show that you would like to share that maybe haven't been heard before. Thanks for all you do. Blah.
Gee, I made a lot of friends from Greg the Bunny. And of course, I got to, I mean, yeah, obviously the draw was that I got to work with Eugene Levy, who I love so much. I don't know if I have any very good stories. I was really into making pot brownies back then, and we had a cast party and I made pot brownies for it. And the thing I love about pot brownies, even back then, is that like even older people will partake because they'll go like, oh God, I remember pot brownies, you know, and like everyone. So it's funny, like Eugene had them. And I remember one of the writers ate a couple pot brownies and then like was convinced that he was stuck under a table. He wasn't. He could have just gotten out from under the table, but he was just sitting there convinced he was stuck under a table. Listen, it's not always a treat for everyone, but God, I loved working with Dan Milano, who is Greg the Bunny and Warren the Ape and created the whole thing. And everyone there made good friends with a few puppeteers, which is something I never thought I don't know that I would ever have said. But I did. Drew Massey, Victor Yared, brilliant puppeteers. I think like trained from like the Henson Company and stuff. It was mostly like a really lovely group. But I would suggest checking out the original Greg the Bunny. There have been a lot of offshoots they've made since too that are probably really funny. But the main reason besides Eugene that I wanted to do it and be a part of it was because I saw they made these shorts, these like interstitial shorts for IFC, the IFC channel. And they're so fucking funny. I think you can find them on YouTube. Just type in like, you know, IFC Greg the Bunny shorts or something like that. There aren't any humans in it. It's just the puppets. And one human that you see only from the neck down, which is, I think, played by Sean Baker, who is also one of the originals that created it, who went on to write and direct the movie Tangerine and The Florida Project, which are brilliant movies. So, yeah, look for that there. Go on YouTube, I think, for some of the original Greg the Bunny stuff. It's awesome. All right, what else?
Hi, Sarah. My name is Lee. I'm calling in from Massachusetts. Lee. I've heard you talk about basketball a few times in some episodes. I wanted to know if your childhood basketball hoop still stands somewhere. Mine just recently had to come down because of a storm. It got destroyed and I was pretty bummed out. But yeah, I'm curious if you have a hoop now or if, you know, your childhood hoop where you played. Would love to know more. Okay, thanks.
I believe it is still there because it was the Manchester YMCA. I played in leagues as a kid, Biddy League basketball. But I didn't play at school other than one year, my senior year, because basketball's a winter sport and winter is when the musical was. But as soon as I got my license, I went to the YMCA all the time and played pickup games which is why I never really knew the rules when I played my senior year. I didn't know like the 3-second rule in the paint, all that shit. I didn't even know like guard forward because I've always played man on man, woman on woman. I was just utilizing that experiment from way back when. Man, I love the YMCA though, you know, and its various versions because any town you're in, anywhere you are, you can find one. And, you know, when I was little, like when my parents were got divorced and everything, like one way my dad would find to like hang out is he'd pick me up at 6 a.m. and we'd go swimming at the YMCA before school. We'd just like swim laps and then we'd always go and get an Egg McMuffin at McDonald's, and he'd bring me to school, and it was like such a good memory. But man, I love that YMCA. All right, what else?
Hi, Sarah. Huge fan. My name's Adam. I live in Branson, Missouri. I am a gay 38-year-old male. I am calling because I'm a little self-conscious about my financial situation. I'm not really self-conscious about too much anymore. Other than this, I'm in great shape. I'm happy. I'm performing. I have friends that mean a lot to me. And there's people who I can't help but compare myself to who are doing a lot better than I am financially at 38 years old. And somebody also has come into my life that I am very much interested in and care for and want to pursue something with them, but I just don't know what I have to offer financially. I can offer them a lot of happiness. I know I have a lot of love to give. I just don't have a lot of money. Anyway, any advice you could throw my way would be great. I love you. I hope that was succinct enough. Thanks, Sarah.
I mean, come on, amazing. You've got it all. So you're not going to be a sugar daddy. Maybe you're zaddy age. I get it. Maybe not. You sound young, whatever. Whatever this means. You're happy. You're healthy. You have a lot of love to give. It sounds like you at least are supporting yourself, which is important. Sounds like you're doing what you love. You're in Branson and you're performing. I know Branson is a big performing town. It's a big show town. So you're working, you're performing, you're doing what you love. If you can support yourself, your lifestyle, and he can support his, what's the problem? You know, I know sometimes in relationships where the couple are each in kind of a different financial bracket, maybe one is wealthier and one wants to do something out of financial range of their partner, all right, then they can pay for their partner or they can subsidize past what their partner can chip in. That's how it works. It's all right. For someone looking for love, you have love to give. And to think that that is worth less than money is bonkers. You know better than that. I can hear in your voice. You know that you have so much to give. You know, maybe, I don't know who your partner is, but hopefully they can at least take care of themselves. You can take care of yourself. And that works. Together, maybe you can even afford more. You are not required to supply a dowry for yourself. For someone looking for money, you don't have to do that. What a great way to weed out the men looking for guys who are going to pay for them. You got this. Come on.
Here's some ads.
Definite articles. Oh my God, I'm up to my teeth in some definite. This is a definite articles hoodie. And it's like, God, it's good for the cold weather. It's great under another jacket. You feel like sealed in, baby. Definite Articles designs performance wear with the planet in mind and is creating a new era of truly sustainable performance fashion. Their goal? To help solve the planet's plastic problem by changing how performance wear is made. Because the planet is drowning in plastic. The last thing it needs is more clothes made with plastics that stick around for centuries. You might not know it, but synthetic yarns give workout clothes the support and stretch you want. But those tiny little bits of plastic leak into our food and our water supply, polluting our planet for centuries. So Definite Articles created biodegradable performance wear that removes plastic from the planet one jogger at a time. The brand pairs smart design with premium materials and spins in a natural additive that helps the synthetic yarns in its performance wear decompose in just a few years, not a few centuries. Think of it as like a magic trick or a science experiment on speed, transforming plastic into soil. Take my new DA hoodie. Boom, I'm wearing it. It's made in New York City. It's biodegradable, but except for the zipper, and removes 27 plastic bottles from the planet. It looks amazing on. Come on, what, huh? This holiday season, give the gift of planet-loving performance. Go to definitearticles.com and use the promo code Sarah for 20% off. Because it's time to change the game, baby. Definitearticles.com, promo code Sarah.
And we're back.
Hi, Sarah. My name's Gage. I am from a small town in Illinois. So I wanted to tell you about something that just happened to me while I'm at work. I'm not very happy about it. In fact, I'm infuriated, and I don't know if I should be or if I'm overreacting. So I wanted to ask your opinion. So I have a really close friend of mine, and she just texted me out of nowhere and asked me if she could come over to my house and do dirty things with a stranger. Stranger as in a guy that I don't know while I'm at work. I mean, is it just me or is she out of her fucking mind? I'm extremely offended. Is that normal? Is that shit normal? I'm offended also because I'm like, do I look like the kind of guy that allows that kind of stuff to happen? Or does she see me as the friend that will just say yes to whatever? I don't know if I'm taking it too personal. I don't know. I mean, it would be different maybe if I was there and we were hanging out and she had a guy come over, but I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know. I don't know the dynamic of your friendship. I'm guessing she has roommates, so she doesn't want to bring them back there. I don't know. I'm guessing her reasoning is like, you know, you're at work, you have an empty apartment. I'm not saying this is reasonable, but she apparently thought it was. So, you know, of course you don't want a stranger in your apartment, let alone like sex juice on your shit, but offended? I don't know if you need to be offended. Where is that coming from? Is it like, what is this triggering in you? Does it feel homophobic? Like she just figures like your whole apartment's covered in dried semen anyway. So like, what's the big deal? I don't know. Like, or she just thinks like, oh, he's my friend and his apartment's empty. And what does he care? I don't know. I don't know why it would be offensive. Because the way I see it, you just say like, oh, fuck no. I don't want a stranger in my apartment and I don't want you having sex in my apartment. Never ask me this again. Boom, done. You know, just take care of just say what you know, I mean, she's just asking. And now it's the ball's in your court and you hit it back and go, fuck no. Want to get dinner later? You know, I mean, doesn't have to be a big deal. People are raised differently. I was raised by wolves. And sometimes people just don't know better, you know? I have a friend who was basically raised in a cult. And I remember he was like, I'm Airbnb-ing my apartment. Can I sleep on your couch? And I was like, absolutely not. And he was like, oh, okay. Just, you know, some people just don't know better. It's okay. What else?
Hi, Sarah Silverman. I have a question about how you deal with other people not believing in your truth. Right now, I just went through a breakup literally last night, and my ex does not believe that I ever loved him. And that is what hurts me more than having to leave him.
And that's why he said that.
Believe that I ever loved him because I have to leave him. And I'm just wondering how you deal with stuff like that. Do you try to talk sense into people, even if they can't hear you? Or do you let them process and then talk to them? I don't know. Like, what do you do when you feel like you're not being seen for who you are and you desperately want to be seen? Thank you. I love you. And you're really awesome. So have a good day.
Not knowing you or this man at all, I can tell you he said that to you to do exactly what it did. You know, whether he's conscious of it or not, he's hurt and he wants you to be hurt. That's a human trigger, that's a human, very human thing, is when we're hurt, our knee-jerk instinct is to try to make that person feel the same pain. So he's roping you in. He's trying to involve you. He doesn't want it to be over. These are all just, you know, it's like, these are almost like stages of grief. I think the latter of what you said, give it time, give him time. Time does a lot of heavy lifting here. But bottom line, you know, if the relationship's over, it's over. You loved him, sure, but for whatever reason, it now is over. And what he does or doesn't believe is truly not your problem or your job. It's not your job to convince them. And it's not about him saying that isn't even about that. I think sometimes this kind of declaration, you never loved me, is just an unconscious way to keep you involved, you know, to engage you, to make you have to prove something. And you don't have to take the bait. You don't have to take it on. It's healthier for you and for him, I think, to wish him well and move on. Let him have the last word if that's what he needs. Move on. Let time pass. A friendship with him might be really nice and possible, certainly possible in time. But just let him think what he needs to think and say what he needs to say while he makes sense of his own feelings and his heartbreak. These things are his. Wish him well and move on. Okay, what else?
Hey, Sarah, it's John from Oregon. Big fan of the pod. Definitely helps keep my brain active as I drive a semi-truck up and down the I-5 corridor, which I'm doing right now. Anyways, this might be surprising, but I actually would rather do something else for a living. I feel like I've got more to offer society, but I am prevented from doing so by a marijuana-related felony, possibly also my own apathy. But anyways,
a big possibility.
Quick backstory, you know, I went to college, got the sociology and English degree, wanting to make the world a better place. Done some social work, worked for the labor movement for a while, which is something that's real important to me. But ended up falling back into something which always paid the bills for me before, which was the weed. Moved down to Humboldt County, you know, did all that for a minute. Feds got at me, you know, seized all my assets, locked me up for a little bit, and I'm out. I'm driving this truck, and you know, I'd love to get back into some form of social work, the labor movement, teaching, anything, but this federal felony will not ever go away.
Oh shit, you got cut off. Sorry, John. Arg. I know it's federal because you're dealing, I guess. It's federal. But now that weed is pretty much legal or decriminalized, you might want to look into seeing if you can get it off your record. Also, there may be people who are hiring in those fields that don't care. Like, who cares that their social workers dealt weed in college? Like, but also, I know that these federal things, that's kind of like across the board stuff in terms of hiring. You should really try to get it expunged from your record. I know that some people are having success in doing that. God, you fucking, you did your time. It sucks that you still, I mean, this is so absurd. It's like basically legal now. I know there are people who help people get their records expunged. I actually have a friend in Oregon named Amy Margolis who does work, pro bono work, getting people with weed crimes records expunged. What do you know? She's in Oregon. So maybe look her up. Amy Margolis at Margolis Legal. Tell her I sent you, but also tell her I don't really know you and you just called into my podcast. And also tell her hi from me. That said, I just feel like there's got to be places that will hire you at this point. There are some places making it a point to hire people with weed crimes because it's such bullshit and is holding people back. There are people still serving. Time for crimes that are now not crimes. And John Boehner makes millions in the weed industry after sending so many to prison. That motherfucker. God, you've got this degree and this knowledge, and from what I hear, an immense amount of chutzpah. Just makes me angry that people aren't able to do what they're qualified to do and passionate about doing because of a fucking weed crime. Give me a break. But good luck, Johnny. I'm rooting for you. And maybe give Amy a call. She's still doing that. She could really help you out. What else? What else we got?
Hey, Sarah. I remember a while ago you were saying something about how you like smoking a little weed at night, but you are not a fan of the vape pens. And I'm just curious why. Thanks. Love ya. Bye.
I don't not like vape pens, but I found that they feel just as harsh as flower weed. So I kind of came back to flower because I just didn't feel like it was a healthier option to vape. But I still, if I find one, like I have this Bebo brand vape that I love at night. That's called like downtime. And I do like that. And I've been more into edibles too. I like a little of everything, to be honest. But there you go. I don't hate vapes, but I have throat issues. So it's already stupid that I inhale any smoke or anything down my throat. So I try to, luckily I'm a lightweight, so I keep it to a minimum. But when it's harsh, like I love these Jeeters, these like little joints by this brand Jeeter, and they roll it in Keef, and it's like, you only need the tiniest puff because it's so strong and I love the high from it, but it's really harsh. So I don't know. Sometimes I remember I'll put like some ice in my mouth to cool down the hit when I take it in, and it really does cool it for my throat. But anyway, there's my story and I'm sticking to it. What else?
Hi, this is Lorna calling from Berlin, Germany. I am just calling with a question about the word love. I've been listening to your podcast quite a lot recently, and I noticed that people calling in will tell you that they love you, and you will respond by saying that you love them. And it's something that I've noticed with quite a lot of Americans. I work with Americans as a tour guide in Berlin, and often at the end of a tour, Americans will tell me that they love me, and I'm like, "Whoa, that's you know, that's quite a lot." I was just wondering, how do you differentiate between telling somebody that you love them in a really meaningful way, and telling somebody who you know you've never met that you love them? And are we using the word love too often? Does it become a bit meaningless when we just throw it around all the time? Thanks for everything you do. Love the podcast. It's got me through a really difficult time this year. So keep doing what you're doing. Lots of love from Berlin.
You love the podcast, or are you in love with the podcast? I mean, you just throw that word around. How do I differentiate? I think context clues, I guess. I mean, I hear you, but, you know, and that's something, you know, that you can decide for yourself if you throw that word around or you protect it and keep it precious. I tell many people that I love them and I always mean it, but I don't mean it in the same way. Partner, a friend, a lover, a family member, all these loves are different, but they're real. And I don't even have to specify to them how I love them. They just kind of know. They just know. But now when people very loosely tell me that they love me, it's odd to say it back. And it's odd to not say it back. It's definitely like, you know, but So I tend to say it back, just to kind of mirror their love back. They're strangers calling in. I don't always say it, or else sometimes I'll say thank you, but that always feels weird when someone says I love you and you say thank you. But does it lose meaning for me? No. Nope. Telling someone you love them takes nothing away from you or the meaning of love, in my opinion. As a concept, as a feeling, in any way it can mean, it doesn't take away for me. I will say too many comics have died to not tell every comedian friend I have that I love them when we part. You know, I do a set somewhere when I will say I love you. And comics, you know, it's like after 9/11, we remembered to give gestures of care to each other and people were kinder to each other. And for a beat, whenever a comic kills themselves, I feel like we remember to say I love you and it's not wasted. Nope. It's worth it. So we just, comics are usually in a place where we remember to tell each other that we love each other and it means something. It might even mean everything. Now let's talk about Brit saying everything's brilliant. Dad, this is the time in the show where we're winding down, where I say subscribe, rate, and review wherever you listen to podcasts, and check us out on YouTube if you like watching.
Hey!
Hey, I wanna...
Hey!
Hi!
Hey, you fucker!